Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone down around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, peace to men on whom favour rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Now, I've got a question for you. I've got a question. Has anyone here ever had a message delivered to them by an angel? Oh. Nobody. And nobody is not really surprising, because you don't really get messages delivered by angels very often these days. In fact, it's only happened a few times in the history of the whole world. So when they do come and deliver a message, you know that the message is very, very important. Because they're not any old messenger, and it's not any old message. And I want to look this afternoon at the message that the angels brought to those shepherds. And you'll see it up on the screen. Do you see what it says? "Do not be afraid." The shepherds were terrified. There they were out in the fields washing their socks by night. And suddenly this angel appears out of the blue. This is big. This is about the biggest message ever delivered. And do you see what it is? "I bring you good news." I bring you good news. The message that the angels brought is news, like the news on the telly. So just to remind us, I need a newsreader. I need a volunteer. Who could volunteer for me? Who could be a newsreader? Not somebody who already has been a newsreader today, but who would like to be a newsreader? Do I have a volunteer? Okay, you, sir, come right on forward. And you need to sit here. You have to sit here and be a newsreader for us. I've got some newsreader spectacles for you. Newsreader spectacles. Those are very fetching. I've got a newsreader clipboard for you for all your notes. And a newsreader microphone to hold. What's your name? Jack. Jack the newsreader. Thank you very, very much, Jack. You're going to sit there and remind us that what we're talking about is news, like the news on the telly. It's something that happened that everyone needs to know about. The angel doesn't say, "Look, I've had a bit of an idea, I'd like to run by you all." The angel doesn't say, "I've come with a poem which I would like to perform for you." The angel says, "I've come with news. Something's happened." And it didn't happen in fairyland. Do you see? Do you see where it happened? It happened in the town of David, which is a place called Bethlehem. It's a real place. I've been there. When you go home, you can look it up on a map. Maybe one day you'll even go there for your holidays. It's news about something that actually happened in a real place. But unlike most of the news on the telly, it's good news. Do you see? It's good news of great joy. And it's not just good news of great joy for some lucky people. It's not just it could be you. It is you. It's good news of great joy for, do you see, all people. This is good news for everyone here this afternoon. How many Christmases can you remember? Who can remember three Christmases? Who can remember four Christmases? Who can remember five Christmases? Can anyone remember 10 Christmases? Anyone remember more than 10 Christmases? Anyone remember 20 Christmases? Can anyone remember more? Unbelievable. There's people out here who can remember more than 20 Christmases. Well, if you've had three Christmases or 10 Christmases or more than 10 or 20 Christmases and you still haven't seen why this is the best news in all the world, this year would be a great year to get to the bottom of it. Otherwise, you'll miss it again and you wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to miss on the best news ever. So you say, well, what's this news all about? Well, it's news about a baby. Have you ever thought about how weird Christmas is? All this fuss about a baby. I mean, there must have been millions and billions of babies born down the history of the world. Why the fuss about this one? Well, babies are always good news in a way, aren't they? But as far as I remember, when I was born, there weren't any angels giving out messages to tell the whole world. The whole world didn't need to know. Why is this baby good news that everyone needs to know about? Well, we rush on to the bit about the baby lying in a manger because we all like babies all wrapped up and snuggly. And we miss the best bit, the bit about why this baby's such good news. Do you see? He's good news because he's going to be a Saviour. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. And Saviour means rescuer. He's going to be a rescuer. Now, just to help us to remember that, I need someone who's going to be a rescuer for us. Who could volunteer to come be a rescuer for us? Alice, you want to come be a rescuer for us? Now, we need some rescuer kit. We've got a rescuer hat. That's going to be a good hat for you. Rescuer hat. We've got a rescuer torch for finding people who've fallen down dark holes. And we've got a rescuer rope. It's an enormous rope. So can you just hold on to that? Just hold on to that. And you'll remind us that this baby was going to be a rescuer. Now, when do we need someone to come along and rescue us? Can anyone think of any situations in which you might need rescuing? Who can think of one? What's one you can think of? Yeah, when the wolf comes and gets you, you might need rescuing. Certainly would. What's one you can think of? When you're lost. You're lost in a forest or something. You need rescuing. What's one you can think of? Yeah, absolutely. When there's a fire and you can't get out, you need rescuing. Let's have two more. What's one more you can think of? Yes, if you're stuck underground, you need rescuing. What's your one? Last one. What's your one, Tom? Yeah, if you're drowning in the sea or in a river or something, you need rescuing. Strange thing, isn't it? Why would God send his son into the world to be a rescuer? Well, the answer is because you and I need rescuing. And you think, funny? What do we need rescuing from? We're not stuck in a cave. We're not lost in a forest. We're not drowning in a sea. The building's not on fire. When I was a small boy, the thing that I most wanted to be rescued from was custard. At school, you had to finish your plate or you weren't allowed to go and play in the yard. So I used to live in fear of it being custard for lunch. We used to try and hide it under our spoon. But Miss Swain, who was a huge matron with muscular forearms, would stand over you and make sure you finished your custard. And the slower you eat custard, the lumpier it becomes. And the more you didn't really want to eat it. So many times I wish I could have been rescued from having to eat custard. And eventually I was rescued because I got my mum to write a note saying that I was to be excused custard on all occasions. What is it that you feel you need rescuing from? Perhaps you'd like to be rescued from the illuminated reindeer that your neighbours have installed on the front of their house for charity. Perhaps you'd like to be rescued from your mother-in-law who's coming to help over Christmas. Maybe you need rescuing from your little brother who keeps messing up your toys. Perhaps you need rescuing from the debt that you're spiralling into. Perhaps you'd like to be rescued from the job that you've got to go back to after Christmas, where they're so mean to you. Perhaps your family have arrived and actually you're dreading the next few days. You'd love someone to rescue you from how painful it'll be. Well, the Bible says all those things that we want to be rescued from are caused by the way we've treated God. See, why is Christmas with the family, Christmas with the people we most love in all the world, so often a time of tension? Well, the Bible says it's because of how we've treated God. And you say, well, hold on. What has the way we treat God got to do with arguing with my sister over what we watch on telly? Well, when God made us, he made us to live for him and to follow his ways. And the problem is not that we don't believe in God. Most people believe in God. The problem is we don't treat God as God. So instead of living for him, we want to live for ourselves. And instead of following his way, we want to follow our own way. But if you want your way and I want my way, when we meet up, what's going to happen? We're going to fight for it. Not just with bombs over Basra, but with words over the washing up and tantrums in front of the TV. And so instead of us all going God's way and putting others first, each of us is fighting for our own way in this world. And that's why the news on the TV is mostly bad. Because we think we're better at running our lives than God is. And so we push him out the picture. But because we're not God, because we're really quite small, we're not very good at running our lives. And so we hurt other people, and we hurt ourselves, and we hurt the God who made us. And we make a mess of things. And that's the mess that we need rescuing from. We need rescuing from the results of rejecting God. Only the results of rejecting God are more serious than we think. We hate the mess we've made. It makes us sad and it makes us angry. But because God is so good, he hates the mess even more than we do. We think, oh, life's a mess. That's just how it is. So we shake our heads at it, or we shrug our shoulders at it, or sometimes we even laugh at it. But because God is so good, he says he will deal with it. Which means he'll deal with people who make the mess. Imagine it's spring and we head up off to the Downs for the first picnic of the year, and you hand me a homemade scone and I pile on the clotted cream first and then the jam, and I completely overload the thing, and as I get it near my mouth, the jam slides off and all the way down the front of my brand new white summer shirt, and there are bees buzzing around angrily. What do I need rescuing from? It's not just that the jam has made a mess on my shirt. You know, I can live with a bit of mess on my shirt. It's that the jam will attract the bees. It's being stung by the bees that I need rescuing from. And the message of Christmas is we need rescuing. But not just from the mess we've made of our lives, but because the mess attracts the sting of God's judgment. And you say, oh dear, now we're going to ruin a perfectly good Sunday afternoon because we hate the idea of judgment. Which is very strange, because we all long for justice to be done. And the Bible says there is hope for this messed up world, because one day God will come and he will do justice. He will deal with all that's wrong. And the trouble is, the Bible says, I'm part of what's wrong. So when he comes, he's going to have to deal with me. And if we think the message of Christmas is that God has just come to rescue us from the mess we've made of our lives, we will never ever see why Christmas is such good news of great joy for all people. We'll think, well, it's okay for some people who feel their lives are especially messy, but it's not for me. I don't need it. No, no, the angel says it's good news of great joy for all people, because God has come to rescue us from the sting of his judgment. And we say, well, hold on, how does a little baby do that? Well, at Christmas, we tend to think of Jesus as the baby Jesus in the manger. He's sweet and he's safe and we can cradle him in our arms. But the baby didn't stay a baby. He grew up. And he told his followers that he'd come to rescue us by dying on a cross. I once read the story of a man whose daughter was playing in the garden and she was being chased by a bee. And he rushed out and he put his arms around her to protect her. And the bee was buzzing around furiously and then silence. And he stiffened for a moment. And then he said to his daughter, "You're safe now. The bee won't sting you. You're safe." And what had happened was the bee had stung him. He'd put his arms around his daughter so that she would be safe, so that the bee would sting him. And once a bee stung it, it can't sting again. So the girl was safe. And the Bible says that on the cross, Jesus stretches out his arms in love. And he takes the sting of God's judgment for us. He takes it all. So there's nothing left for us to take. And we are safe. God's rescue operation cost him everything. Meant he gave up his own dear son. But that's what he was prepared to do, to rescue me and rescue you. Because that's how much he loves us. We've rejected him, but that's how much he wants us to be friends with him again. So this Christmas, when you think about Jesus, don't just think about him as a little baby in a manger. He's not still a baby. He grew up. Where's Paul Stacey? Paul Stacey. He was once a baby. But he's grown up now. And you don't go up to Paul now and tickle him under the chin and cradle him in your arms, do you? Not now. This Christmas, don't just tickle Jesus under the chin and cradle him in your arms and then give him back when Christmas is over. That baby grew up and he came to cradle us in his arms. He came to be our rescuer. And we need him, not just for Christmas, but for life. Because Christmas is not a fairy story to take our mind off things. It's news, good news, about the rescuer that each one of us so desperately needs. Let's pray. As we sit, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you love us so much that you gave your dear son to come and rescue us from the danger we were in. Please, this Christmas, show us more about why that is the best news in all the world. Amen. Amen. A special thank you to Jack, our newsreader, because it's news, and Alice, our rescuer, about a rescuer. Why don't you go back to your seat? Thank you.